Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Welcome to Level 7.
And welcome, everyone, to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Welcome back, Pete.
Hey, Matt. Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your summer.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's been all sorts of barbecues and time by the pool and all that. But, Pete, that's not what we're here to talk about. What's on the old agenda for today?
This is our little Marvel summer update that we're throwing you all to catch you up on some tidbits you may have seen, you may not have seen, but with the Fantastic Geek analysis, as always.
So first up, of course, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, we're talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Pete, what news came this week?
Well, Matt, I can think of no better present the day after my birthday than on Tuesday, September 23rd, to be gifted at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time with the first episode of Season 2 of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Indeed, and that is, of course, at the new 9 o'clock time slot. By the way, Pete, Clark Gregg had said on the internet that he expects that there to be a 10-week block of episodes initially, so 10 weeks without a break. If that indeed is the case, that would take us to the Tuesday right before Thanksgiving. So a nice, you know, 10-week, 10-episode block to get things rolling.
Definitely.
And then I would assume at that point we would then have December off in terms of new Marvel TV programming. Maybe they'll throw in a special there, you know, Assembling a Universe Part 2, something like that. But Pete, in January, what can we expect on at that Tuesday 9 p.m. time slot?
Well, we have another show set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, albeit a prequel, and that will be Agent Carter. And we're looking at 8 episodes beginning sometime in January.
Indeed. And you could check FantasticGeek.com for an article from today, July 16th, where there's all sorts of rumination and prognostication about when the spring and the winter and spring, rather, not spring, dates would be for how Agent Carter would run, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would pick up. But the assumption is that once Agent Carter starts, we'll have those 8 episodes. Then the next week, the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D. will start up again in a 10 to 12 week block for S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's going to give us about 18 to 20 weeks nonstop of Marvel TV action. So pretty good there.
I love how Marvel continues to raise the stakes. They're pushing their chips even further into the middle of the table here. The criticism last year was there's too many breaks. We never know when it's new, never know when it's not. And, you know, to do this as boldly, and again, in a big year for them in 2015, where they will release the second Avengers film after, you know, what's the highest grossing film this year, Matt, so far?
I believe so far it's, oh, I'm sorry, it's Captain America.
Okay, Captain America, yeah. And the Winter Soldier. Okay, what we'll talk in our agenda a little bit later, Guardians of the Galaxy, 2 weeks away. My pick for highest grossing movie this summer, and go back and check. For a long time, I've been calling that one, son. So, you know, it'll be an even bigger year for them next year with Avengers, that tentpole. And to have the TV component now building up to this, again, all part of a intricately and well-designed and thought-out Marvel plan.
Well, you used the word son, and of course Avengers will have the son, Tony Stark. The news since last we chatted was that Agent Carter has added Dominic Cooper as Tony's dad, Howard Stark. So that, I think, is something that many people were anticipating and looking forward to. But now it is indeed official that we'll have Peggy Carter going on these secret missions for Howard Stark.
I love it. I love keeping that actor. You know, Tony Stark's been played at different points in his life by a couple different actors in the cinematic universe to this point, one of which is a little busy finishing up, you know, some show you watch. But the idea that we're going to get him back, and the chemistry they had, even though, you know, it was false chemistry designed to really upset Steve Rogers with the fondueing and whatnot. But I think that'll really be nice. And then, you know, we're kind of anticipating that Bradley Whitford, who was in the Agent Carter one shot diagonal sideways pilot on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray, might be joining the cast. He was dropped his show Trophy Wife on ABC, was not renewed, so he's available. We'll have to see. And again, he would kind of function as a as an interior nemesis, the Hydra thing being what it is now with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thinking that will further be explored in the prequel setting as well.
Well, you mentioned how Tony Stark has been played in different, you know, at these, or pardon me, Howard Stark has been played by different actors at different points in time. As we move on to the third show on our agenda here, Daredevil, and we're about to talk casting there, it still is not yet known when Daredevil will be taking place in terms of, you know, is it modern day, is it the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, that kind of thing?
Fairly certain it's concurrent with our timeline. I believe I've read that in a couple places.
Ah, well then, there goes my theory on getting John Slattery to play another Stark appearance.
There you go.
but Pete, for Daredevil casting, since last we spoke, they've gone from, I believe, no one cast to four people. First up is Charlie Cox playing Daredevil, a.k.a. Matt Murdock. And I believe you are familiar with Mr. Cox's work.
Yes. If you have ever watched the wonderful Boardwalk Empire, which is entering its final season come this fall, Charlie Cox most famously portrayed the character of Owen Slattery, our, you know, Irish-born hired thug for Nucky Thompson, and did a wonderful job with that. I was very excited to see him get the role of the Daredevil. I'm interested to see him play without an Irish accent.
Also on the list is Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the Kingpin, which when I saw that news, I was like, oh, Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
The Kingpin in the awful movie. Like, it was just this moment of, yeah, Michael Clark Duncan. But can't live in the past.
People hate on that movie, and it's not as bad as it's made out. It's a total guilty pleasure. I own it. And... you know, between Michael Clark Duncan and then, you know, just talking about, you know, Irish guys, you know, the Bullseye character played by who was the actor?
Oh, Colin.
Farrell.
Yes. not Colin Firth.
Not Colin Firth.
No. Excuse me, Daredevil. I just.
Yeah. You know, I think it's. You know, I'm very interested in this redo of Daredevil, given that they've done it once on the screen, albeit before the grand Marvel plan came together. You know, interested here with who they cast as, you know, the heavy, pun intended there. Matt, give us your Vincent D'Onofrio memory, and then I'll give you my two.
Whenever I see the name Vincent D'Onofrio, I think of him in The Cell, which is a J-Lo movie, yes. But this great kind of sci-fi. It has shades of The Matrix. It's after The Matrix, you know. But to me, it's an underappreciated sci-fi movie. The visuals are just lush and insane. And speaking of insane, he plays an insane guy in it, who's, when he enters the world of the mind and whatnot, it's just these surreal images and whatnot. So that's what I think of. What do you think of when it comes to old Vinny D?
Two
as
things.
I'm sure someone calls him.
Two things. I can't help but think of his excellent portrayal in a film that audiences first came to know him in Full Metal Jacket as Private Pyle, this, you know, bullied, harassed, turned, you know, unhinged in the really the first 45 minutes of the movie, the boot camp section of Kubrick's masterpiece there, if you will. Really, the movie should end right after the segment that he's featured in. The other thing that I come to think of was a very widely circulated story. Vincent D'Onofrio apparently hates George W. Bush.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah. There were moments at the, shall we say, less popular points of, Bush's second term where, as D'Onofrio was on, what was he on, the SVU? Was he on?
I think
he
was on Criminal Intent.
He was on the Criminal Intent.
Law and Order CI.
There are stories during that show, which is no longer on, that producers had to talk him back onto the set. Bush would apparently do something to upset him, and he would retreat to his trailer as if Bush was a character or someone involved with the show, and he had to be talked out of the trailer.
Serious?
I'm sorry?
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. 100% serious. And Matt, we know a little something about, drama taking place on Hollywood sets. So
that we do. Our lips are still sealed on that one.
Yes. So it was merely a hint. Here's what I hope for. I want him to play this character with the menace of Private Pyle and just the mentally unstable angle that the president would make you completely unable to perform your job.
So I guess that's like an in for like the director. It's like, all right, so in this scene, Daredevil,
George W. Bush has just enacted the Patriot Act. Go.
Yeah.
he just checked what books you've read all of your life. You check out of a library. Now go.
He's not feeling into the scene enough. Quick, Charlie Cox, put on that George W. Bush mask. Ah, yes, perfect.
Wait. Game of Thrones got in big trouble with that. So.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, the reason I own the Game of Thrones season one, apart from it being an excellent, TV show, which Matt was foolish enough not to continue, is because the DVD commentary on the early releases, which is no longer available, explain that in episode 10, one of the heads on Pikes on King's Landing is actually a George W. Bush mask. And it was months after that was released on video that came to light, and HBO excised that from the commentary. It's no longer available, but I can go watch it, and I own it. And not that I'm a Bush hater. If anything, I'm pretty bipartisan. But I just think that's hysterical. Maybe if they just hadn't drawn the attention to it. But I guess it's not a joke if few people know about it.
Well, from that, I can't think of much of a segue other than to say next on the Daredevil casting list, Rosario Dawson has been cast as, quote, a dedicated young woman, close quote. Whose life is thrown into that of Matt Murdock.
So apparently not Elektra.
Apparently not. I mean, it's certainly
not by name, at least.
It was just interesting that you've had four major people cast, of all of whom have decent spots on the resume. I think maybe, I suspect perhaps Charlie Cox has been acting the least amongst the four, but I mean, Boardwalk Empire alone is enough to say, oh, this guy must be good. The fact that of those four people, Rosario Dawson is the only one who, in the press release, doesn't have a name. I don't know if, are they monkeying around and the big reveal is going to be Elektra? Or is it just, it's a brand new character? If it is, then say, you know, Dr. Samantha such and such, you know. So I don't know. Maybe Pete, do you want to spoil it right now? Is Rosario Dawson Electra? Have we turned a colorblind eye to the original comics, and we're just casting to reflect America?
Matt, I know you want to know, but do our listeners want to know?
Well, how about this? Why don't we're here for the news and analysis. If you have unsourced stuff, son, you're going to have to come back with your two sources.
Okay,
then. No going to the garage and being told, follow the money, follow the size. It's not a turtle, it's an Electra. Side note, that'll be an interesting movie to see how it does, the Turtles movie. But I digress. Last here is Eldon Henson, who, that name did not ring any bells. When I look at the picture of that dude, I'm like, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. You've all seen him in a bunch of stuff. But he's playing Foggy Nelson, who's Matt Murdock's pal. And Pete, in an interesting bit of irony, do you know who played Foggy Nelson in the Ben Affleck movie?
Come on, man. You're gonna think I'm going to blow that one. We know that Jon Favreau has some other things right now, you know, that's keeping him from this. But don't even begin to presume that I wouldn't be able to produce that.
Hello, listeners. This is Matt. I'm adding an addition. Since we recorded the podcast, actually within about 18 hours of the podcast recording, there actually were two more roles confirmed for Daredevil. First is Peter Shinkoda is going to be playing a major recurring role in the series. Looks like no info on his character name yet, just a major recurring role. You might know Peter Shinkoda from Falling Skies. Also joining the cast, this was officially announced the day after we recorded the podcast, is Deborah Ann Wolfe, who you might know from True Blood, and she will be playing Karen Page, who the character of Karen Page has had a love interest with Matt Murdock. So also there's, you can not speculate that Rosario Dawson is playing Karen Page because Deborah Ann Wolfe is. With that, back to the regularly recorded podcast. So, I mean, it sounds like a good cast is coming together.
It is. And, you know, the unknown quantity of this is how all out they're going to go in an original Netflix show. You know, we've had the variety of things produced by Netflix, but never an action show. You know, we've had the political intrigue, we've had the the flashback driven character, you know, comedy slash, you know, drama of Orange is the New Black. We've had revivals of, you know, Arrested Development and Clone Wars. We've had a horror show in Hemlock Grove, never an action show. And it's going to be fascinating because it's part of a larger universe and a larger deal. This is one of four shows that then will become a mini series exclusive to Netflix. So this is going to be very, very interesting. This is really the first tentpole of Netflix. You know, not that, again, Orange is the New Black and, you know, House of Cards aren't, but they kind of flew under the radar. You know, right, there will be true expectations riding with this, and the idea that, boom, here's a whole season of this.
I totally agree with what you're saying. Both of those shows, I think, were kind of, they were the rookie called up from AA who all of a sudden, you know, hits the Grand Slam home run. There weren't quite the expectations. I mean, certainly with the pedigree of the actors and the showrunners and the writers and all that for both of those shows, the expectation was there, but it kind of was unproven. It'll be interesting to see how Daredevil, as the first of the four Defenders shows, how it does. Pete, let me ask you this. A couple of questions here. Would you agree that it is inconceivable that Daredevil will drop while Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is airing new episodes. I don't mean like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has to be canceled. I mean,
right.
Is this going to drop before the Agents of Two season two finale?
I think the plan is so airtight at this point. I would bet against it dropping when any other Marvel property is airing. Here's what's going to happen. And it's July 16th. And, you know, you can email me next July 16th if I'm wrong. Okay. So Avengers comes out in early May.
May 1st. Yep.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will lead up in and out tidally to that. And then at some point during the summer, seizing on that momentum and those storylines, you're going to get Daredevil. Book it.
Do you think that in the post, by the way, the timeline that you're suggesting is in line with the article that I wrote on the website, which is we're probably looking at 1, 2, or 3 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Avengers 2 comes yes. out. In that post-Avengers dust settling, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are picking up the pieces, blah, blah, blah. Do we cross paths with Matt Murdock, Wilson Fisk, dedicated young woman, or Foggy Nelson, either in some sort of cutesy, lost style, hey, is that Jack in the back? Yup, it is. Or just a full-on, like, we got to go ask. I got to talk to a lawyer in New York, you know.
Do they hand
it off like that?
I could see a more vague reference, only because the unknown aspect there, ABC to Netflix, and the level of cross-promotion that could be present there, that's where I'm hesitant to believe that there could be, you know, that kind of handoff. So I think it would be more of the vague. I mean, I know that Clark Gregg has said, you know, oh, you know, maybe I'll turn up in some of these. Again, leading me to believe it's current day.
Right.
But we'll see, man. It's just wonderful to speculate on, you know, how this could all be interwoven.
Here's my guess. And I hear what you're saying. How's ABC going to feel handing it off to somebody else? Here's my internal headcanon in this nonfiction thing going on. ABC ran Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like a freshman, like an unproven freshman show. And here's what I suspect. Somebody farther up the food chain at Marvel, at Disney Studios, at whatever, there was enough complaint going on saying you paid, what was it, $4 billion, $5 billion, $6 billion for Marvel, and you're going to run it out there like it's just any old show, you know, like that's just not return on your investment. So you got to hype this thing. So similarly, just as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten that, not because the numbers are through the roof. I mean, you know, the whole Live Plus 7 is good and reruns and all of that. There's a passionate fan community. But here's what I suspect, that if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to do a handoff, or if they're instructed to by Marvel Studios, I think that we'll see it. And if ABC doesn't like it, I think somebody's going to sit down, Paul Lee, president of ABC, and say, there's a reason that there's not a Daredevil show on ABC. We don't think it can last on ABC. We think that, you know, you can get some other show to be more successful in the broadcast model. But darn it, you know, don't screw the pooch on this one, because if Marvel Studios is happy and Disney is happy, then ABC's TV should be happy. And if your bosses aren't happy, you know who's going to be in trouble, Paul. It's going to be you. So that's what I imagine is going on, will go on. We'll see. We're once again at this wide open Marvel universe. It's just so lovely to kind of dip your toe into.
It is.
Speaking of universe, Pete, in 2 weeks we're going to be actually leaving, in a certain sense, the Marvel universe, the Earthbound Marvel universe that all of this has taken place in. What, 10, 11 movies?
Mm-hmm.
22 episodes of one TV show, another perhaps close to 30 by this time next year with Agent Carter and Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., with more and more and more coming on the Netflix shows. Where are we headed in 2 weeks, Pete?
Well, that will be the premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, certainly exciting stuff. I mean, I don't know that there's a ton to say that isn't either spoilery or stuff that people already know.
Well, I mean, we had the 17-minute IMAX preview a week ago that the buzz was very, very healthy on. You know, the highest praise I heard from somebody who knows their stuff is that this has the humor and wit of Ghostbusters and the bravado of Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, when you put it like that,
you know, again, go back and listen. I've been calling this for a long time. This will be, at the very least, the biggest movie of the summer. It could possibly wind up being the biggest movie of the year.
I totally agree, especially now that we're this deep into the summer. You can check out the website. There's an article from July 9th that kind of breaks down some of the math, probably to an excessive degree, but it has not been a strong box office this year. It has been a very weak summer box office.
And I think a lot of that is in deference of some of the massive films next year. I mean, we mentioned Avengers, Star Wars. You know, there are just such big movies on the horizon. I think this summer almost became an afterthought, and that's why I think the Guardians, Matt, can steal this summer.
There's definitely a shot, particularly when you figure the biggest movie of the year, albeit by $1 million, but the biggest movie of the year is a movie that came out April 4th, Captain America, the second biggest movie, the Lego movie. So it's kind of apples and oranges in terms of, you know, the kid thing, the repeat viewing thing.
The cross pollination that's going to happen between, you know, the kids going to see this and the comic book people and people who don't know what this is. Once the buzz hits, Matt, I'm going to make another prediction. The movie is going to go up in gross the second week domestically.
I think that that certainly is possible. What I know I've said to you personally, Pete, and I don't know if I said it on the podcast, is I think back to when the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out, and you get done with it, and it was just so much fun and had depth to it and had shading to it and so on and so forth, that 2 weeks later, I'm going again with my brother. And then a week after that, we're like, boy, I could still go see it again. Well, let's take mom and dad. Like, it's just that kind of movie where it's not like, oh, yeah, I saw it. It was great. It was loud. It was fun. All right, Pete, good time hanging out. Now I don't need to see it again. It's going to be like, you have to go see this movie. It's so crazy. And there's a raccoon in a tree. And these guys, like, I just think it's going to be one of those movies where you're dragging people to experience it the first time and you want to experience it again the second time. So
you mentioned casting before, and only because this is broken, it's out there. There is one piece of yet unannounced by us casting for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Josh Brolin is going to voice Thanos, who will be in this movie. He has been glimpsed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at the mid-credit sequence of Avengers, and this begins a several-film arc for his character.
Wow. By the way, just some back of the envelope figuring here. By my estimation, Transformers will not crack the top one or two just based on its decay. You know, all movies decay week to week based on its decay.
Some decay more than others.
Did I see Transformers? No way. I still would like my money back for the last one, but I get it. People go, I mean, it's a popcorn movie. I get it. But I don't think it's going to, I don't think it's going to surpass Captain America 2 or Lego Movie, which are ahead of the rest of the pack by a good $20 or $30 million. So it's open for Guardians, man. I mean, they've been hyping this for so long and it just has this vibe. You know, you think of like when the first poster came out, and then a day later, Marvel had like the poster where it didn't say anything other than Ooga Chaka. And it's just like, they get it. They just get that there's a humor to it.
Definitely.
The tagline, "You're welcome," is so kind of cheeky and in your face, and in other movies would be rude. And with this, it's just like, it just sells it in two words. We'll see. We certainly will see.
Yeah, Marvel, you know, I think they're sitting on a gem with this. I think they really know it. I think they're having fun with it. James Gunn had to lock the movie the other day to literally begin the press tour. So, and I know that's something that, you know, that's 3 years of his life,
right?
To do that. And, you know, if not for running out of time, probably would have continued to tinker and tinker and tinker. But I think the end result is going to be something that a lot of people are going to see once and then a couple more times.
Well, Pete, if it's a big enough hit, 20 or 30 years from now, James Gunn can go back, do the special edition.
Yes.
You know, then 21 years from now, we can all have t-shirts that say Groot shot first.
But wouldn't they then have to go back, if these movies are all intertwined, and go back and update the other movies?
That hey, could, maybe. That could I don't open know. Up
worse than the Lucasian, you know, paradox of, you know, who shoots first, and instead, you know, oh, it wasn't Hydra all along. It was, you know, AIM.
We shall see. Well, that, Pete, how can people be in touch?
Well, you can always find us on Twitter. Keep an eye out as well. We're going to be getting our Facebook on towards the end of the summer, or more on that soon.
Very nice. How can people be in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKatelar. 3,860 followers. Can't be wrong.
Wow. And if you want to share your thoughts, it's Fantastic Geek, whether it's .com, Twitter, at Gmail, fantastic with a PH. So with that, Pete, I imagine the next time you and I and all our listeners get together, it'll probably be after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, unless there's some sort of mammoth, I don't know, casting news.
You got it.
So fun. And we'll talk to everybody again in a couple weeks.
Bye-bye.